Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like civics and government, the law, anthropology, and archaeology. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're talking with composer, musician, and sound artist Holly Herndon, whose most recent full-length album, Proto, was released in 2019. We're also talking with Matt Dryhurst, a musician, researcher, and artist who also teaches at NYU's Clive Davis Institute of Music, the Strelka Institute, and the European Graduate School, and hosts discussions with figures shaping 21st century culture on the Interdependence podcast.
Thank you all so much for explaining how Holly Plus came to be and how she works. I wanted to talk a little bit about other people's perceptions of what you're doing and how people might feel about Holly Plus. You said earlier that you use machine learning rather than AI because people are like, AI, you're going to replace all the artists with robots. But you also seem comfortable with addressing the issue of deep fakes, which I think is a much more pejorative term, right? How have people been reacting to your work? Does Holly Plus scare people or inspire them?
I would say it's a mixed bag. The majority of people are pretty excited about it. I mean, ultimately, it's a free tool that anyone can play with and have fun with. So it's kind of difficult to get mad at that. I think some people have misunderstood what's exciting or novel about it and maybe think that it's like a sampler or are unimpressed because they're maybe not understanding what's unique about it. And that's okay. That's something that will come with time.
It ends up being kind of a Rorschach test, where everyone feels like they have some familiarity with it. And so oftentimes, one of the benefits of releasing this tool and releasing kind of a lot of literature around it and kind of opinions around it coming from us personally is that we can be really clear with what it is and what it isn't. Because oftentimes we'll find ourselves having conversations with people and the word AI comes up and we're talking about two completely separate things. There's this kind of nice balance where hopefully through the tool and other things we're doing, we're showing people a path to do stuff that they maybe haven't been able to do before. In fact, I'm pretty sure they haven't been able to do before. But at the same time, we're not overselling it. And that's kind of a position of responsibility that I feel like we have to adopt. But it's also important to get past negative archetypes and honestly, very old stories. A lot of the lore around AI or whatever, this is a very, very old story. It goes back hundreds of years, actually. The idea of automata and human's place in the universe or whatever. That stuff's all fascinating. You can also go on YouTube and find a bunch of quote-unquote intellectuals talking about sentient machines constantly. It's like, it's this thing that people get excited about, and I can relate to that somewhat. What we're talking about is using new and very, very exciting techniques to do new stuff that doesn't have to displace anybody. That's the good news. Stuff that you couldn't do before and is there for us to have fun with, even though, of course, there are some things that need to be considered if this stuff was to spread to everyone.
You said your audiences liked Spawn and they liked helping to teach Spawn. Do you feel like people are comfortable with having digital musicians alongside human musicians on a stage?
I think some of the work that we did with Spawn laid the groundwork for what we're doing with Holly Plus. So we kind of went over some of these issues already and got used to speaking to a wider public about what it means to have a voice model and that it's not a replacement, that it's really just a new way for a human to perform with a machine or through a machine. The work that we've been doing over the last 5 years has kind of laid the groundwork for Holly Plus, and our audience is very used to this concept of performing with machines coming from us. So they're on board.
We've always been very aware of stereotypes associated with the field. And so with the last record, when we were touring, we definitely primed a lot of misconceptions that we knew were going to come. For example, it was a record dealing in some ways with machine learning, artificial intelligence. But when people went to the show, there were no robots. There were actually 10 people on stage, which is unusual because prior to that, it was just Holly, Colin, and I. We really like stacked it in such a way that it was really clear. To such an extent, actually, one of the greatest compliments we ever got for the show was we played a very large show in New York, and the main promoter of the show afterwards came in and was like, what the hell did that have to do with AI? Which I was like, yes, exactly, exactly. Funnily enough, it actually had more to do with what we understand AI to be than Terminator stories or something like this. Being somewhat in the public eye, we're constantly trying to toy with those expectations a little bit. But fundamentally also, because we actually do care about this, try and make sure that what we put out there is accurate and productive, because there's a responsibility there too, I think.
The language you used in the first segment was really helpful for me, where you think of it as an instrument, not a consciousness that's producing this music. And it's an instrument that in a way can be crowdsourced, I guess, in a certain sense.
I'm curious about the collaborative aspect, because it sounds like far from shutting people out, you're opening the door to a lot more creative collaborations with people all over the world. Does Holly Plus learn from the musicians who work with her, or is she done learning?
Well, as Matt mentioned earlier, there will probably be multiple versions of Holly Plus. This version of Holly Plus has already finished learning, so she's not learning from any of the audio that's being uploaded. If that were the case, I think we would have to consider how we would be able to give attribution to the people training Holly Plus. That would open up a whole new host of questions for how we create this collective instrument, which I'm interested in, and we could definitely go down that road in the future. But currently, she's just trained on my voice, and that training has ended, and that's as good as she's going to get for now.
Do you have concrete next models or trainings that you're working on for different instantiations? What is that going to be looking like?
Yeah, there's one that we are developing at the moment. It's kind of like a musical text-to-speech. So it will allow for you to type. It also has some understanding of meter and rhythm, so you can kind of type rhythm and have the voice produce something rhythmic in that way. And then there's another one that I can't talk too much about, but that's kind of like the big one. Actually, the musical text-to-speech stuff is stuff that you can kind of do already. There's a service called UberDuck. There's another one called 13AI. You can go online and also experiment with a very similar system to the one that we're using there. The one that I can't do too much about is actually a bit of a combination of both. It would allow for you to use text, create vocalizations, i.e. like create words, but also produce them in a sung manner that you have a lot of control over. And so that's like the longer term thing that is absolutely coming, but I can't talk too much about it because there's other people involved. So.
Super secret.
You mentioned that a lot of what you started with was open source, but you've added your own secret sauce, being able to interpret polyphony and soon down the road, maybe handling language. Will any of that become open source, or are you planning on keeping that part of your intellectual property protected?
That's a really good question, and it often comes down to our collaborators specifically, what their plans are to commercialize certain aspects. And so it's not entirely up to us always. And I think it's also okay to keep some things not open source sometimes.
Yeah. It can get quite tricky because oftentimes the code base is coming from a bunch of different sources. Our principle thus far has been that we're interested in giving people tools to use for free, but that would be in the case of something related to Holly Plus. And if a collaborator we're working with, as Holly said, is planning on using some of their special sauce in a proprietary thing, we're not going to tell them not to do that. It's quite a tricky, interesting area. I mean, one thing that I think is really cool, though, is that the system that we've come up with through the co-op and through this kind of like certification of official artworks is kind of a virtuous cycle in which we're trying to raise money for the artworks. We're trying to compensate the different artists who used Holly Plus and participate in that process. And then funds from that are going into the development process. And so it's actually been the case so far that with a few projects that we've been doing, we've been funneling profits directly from art sales to fund nascent companies, honestly.
We should flesh that out a little bit. Yeah. We're hosting a gallery through Zora where artists can use Holly Plus and create works and sell those works as NFTs.
For the layperson, that's a non-fungible token.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. Just don't read anything about it because it's all wrong. Don't trust your newspaper.
So these are kind of like officially, you know, accepted by the DAO works into the gallery. And then there's kind of a profit split between the artist who created the work, the DAO itself, and then a small portion to myself for being the model. So the DAO, the way that it's set up, will be able to ingest these funds and then spend those funds to pay for developer time and server hosting and things like this to be able to further develop tools to make free to the public.
I know what an NFT is, and if this is not the best explanation, correct me, but An NFT is a way of selling and tracking and certifying a digital work as being unique and without having multiple copies of it floating around. Because I may not want to pay, let's just say, $100 for a digital artwork if everybody can make a copy of it. Am I sort of understanding that correct?
There's a slight change that I would make there, because you could theoretically copy it. Like if you bought an NFT of an image, you could copy that image and then you could have that on your computer. But it's really a proof of transfer between the creator of that image and the person who's the patron of that image. So in a way, that image can be widely spread and available to a whole community of people, but it's still paid for by one individual. And that one individual has a certificate that says, hey, I'm the patron for this. So it's a very different understanding of IP. Traditionally, in the art market, people might buy a kind of up-and-coming artist's work as an investment, and then they might put that in storage in Switzerland for 20 years and hope that it increases in value, and then nobody gets to see it or enjoy it. This is a very different approach where everybody can enjoy it, but one person is the owner of that work.
Exactly. The big bet there is that the more ubiquitous an image is, the more owning the title to that image is valuable. What's funny is there have been many critiques about NFTs saying that they're imposing scarcity, and it, in fact, couldn't be further from the truth. It's the exact opposite. NFTs are encouraging ubiquity and trying to figure out a new kind of economic model for how digital artists can make a living while also sharing their work freely and widely with everybody. Because as Holly said, in the traditional art world or the music world, you still have owners. There's scarcity there, but the second that stuff bleeds outside of their control, you get lawsuits. Or you just get paintings stuck in cold storage, you know, in freeports, which is how the art world works. So there's a lot of advantages to the system, even though it's a lot to get your head around. There's aspects to it that are counterintuitive, and I think I would concede that, but we are where we are.
So I get that you've got this gallery collective where you can derive some funding from, but I'm also genuinely curious, how else do you all actually get paid to do this stuff? I mean, are the gallery sales feeding you?
Well, we haven't started doing that yet. I hope they do.
We actually launched the auction after this conversation, the auction hub, the gallery site. But traditionally, we have 80 to 90% of our income has come from live performances. And so, of course, COVID was a very big barrier for that. So
we lost a lot of money.
Well, we kind of lost everything, yeah. All of our income. So we had to pivot really hard. And so we actually started a podcast, which is patron supported, which is really awesome and has helped us. It's something we wanted to do for a long time, but never really had time because we were touring so much. So actually COVID presented that opportunity. And then we've also been selling our own NFTs separately, not through
Very recently.
Very
yeah,
recently.
Very recently. We're very much live musicians. We're employed by the live music industry. Let's go.
So really coming up with the Holly Plus tool is almost kind of a side project or an enhancement to your live performances, I guess.
Well, what's strange about us in a weird way, which is maybe idiosyncratic, and it certainly wasn't engineered in this way, but it's just how things transpire, is that generally every album we've done, we've kind of created our own tools to create the record. And so prior to this, we'd done a bunch of other stuff. And the basic thesis there was, one, the creation of the tools are kind of art projects in themselves. And then the hope is that the record and the performances afterwards are distinct as a result, because there's a kind of harmony between the tools that are being made, the presentation. Like every tour, we have a different band configuration. There's a whole other thing going on. And so it all kind of synthesizes together. So I have no doubt that the tools that we're working on right now will end up, in fact, I know for a fact that they'll end up on the record upcoming.
And it's all part of our wider research practice.
Exactly. So it's kind of the way we've hacked it in a way, is that we both do have some academic entanglements that don't really pay our bills. And it's like the way we've kind of figured out, we're the smallest research institution on earth, because oftentimes we're funneling money from one source, whether it be live shows or whatever, to be able to fund this thing that then hopefully is interesting enough. At one point, it'll be really, really nice to not have to have three jobs, but that's how it works out. And it's a fulfilling practice.
That's just awesome.
I guess I just wanted to add in that it's the Interdependence podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And where do people go to find that?
Interdependence.fm or also on Patreon at Interdependence.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I look forward to listening.
Please do. I'd be curious to hear what you have to think about it. I think it's a pretty good podcast. Honestly, I do.
You guys are professional performers and vocalizers, so I would hope so. Holly, Matt, thank you so much for being on with us today to talk about all this cool stuff. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's been lovely to hang out with you both.
Yeah, thank you.
And if you would like more information about Holly Herndon and her projects, and Matt's projects too, I would presume, you can visit hollyherndon.com online. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.